Hallelujah. Welcome to healing class. Last day of February, 2021. Praise God. Let's open with a prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to hear your word, to receive your word. Thank you that it just won't be words that filter through our minds, our brains, but will allow it to penetrate our heart so that it'll change us. Lord, we give our hearts, we open up to your direction, your correction, and we receive that now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to be talking about gardening. And typically, years ago, before everything became so put up to the internet and digitalized, they would send seed catalogs around this time. Around February, you'd get seed catalogs in the mail. And I'd look through those seed catalogs. Even though it was snowy outside, I could picture the garden. I could picture the crops. I could picture the harvest. You start getting anticipation and expectation for the harvest. And so in that, there's a lot of things that help me from a revelation standpoint, but just working with a garden. And even in the word itself, Jesus talked a lot about seed, sowing, farming, crops, harvest. There's over 40 times in the scripture where the New Testament compares the word of God to seed. And so there's a lot of good things that we can see here. And just like we know, there's certain natural, absolute laws that have to do with seed. Like there's seed, there's time, there's harvest. Seed, time, harvest. There's what you sow, you will reap. There's whatever you plant. If you want corn, you have to plant corn. It can't be any other way. So there's absolute laws, and it's not doesn't sway by man's opinion. It doesn't sway by, well, we think we're going to change this law. It's absolute. So that it's a very good analogy for the word of God. And also, just like seed, we said whatever the seed will produce after its own kind, so it is with healing. Healing seeds produce healing. So the title of this lesson is Sowing Healing Seed. Now, when we're looking at seed and we're looking at gardening, I don't know if any of you have gardened, or what's some things about seed just from a gardening standpoint that comes to mind. What do you have to do for a garden? What do you have to do?
Prepare the soil.
Prepare the soil. Okay. What else?
You have to weed.
Well, just don't plant weeds. So you have to weed. So there's some maintenance involved. All right.
Water.
You have to water it. So you're going to be nurturing it. You're going to be protecting it. You're going to be preparing. There's a part in there that we haven't heard yet. And what do you do with it? You plant it. That seed has to get in the ground. I brought a seed packet with me. This is one of my favorites that I like to plant every year. It's watermelon. It's like the crimson sweet watermelon. And I had some old packs in a box. And this was packed for 2012. So these seeds are 9 years old. And you know what? They aren't producing. I am not picking any watermelons off of these. They haven't grown in 9 years. Is there anything wrong with the seed? No, there's nothing wrong with the seed. It just has to be placed in the ground. Now, I'm going to look at some of the things that we just mentioned. We're going to go through. And We talked about usually in order that we do it, you think about preparing the ground. That's one of the first things that was mentioned, preparing the ground. But actually, there's something even before preparing the ground. Because just like when I got the seed catalog, I wasn't preparing the ground yet. I hadn't done any work out there. But I made a decision, I made a determination that I was going to plant seed. So I made a determination there. So that's even before you go out and do the work, do the other things, you're going to say, I'm determined to do this. And there's a scripture that talks about this. That's, I think that falls in line with this. It's in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. Ecclesiastes 11, 4 says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. And I think this is applicable also to when we're talking about healing seed. Like we want healing, we want the results of healing. But if we're looking at other things, we can not sow the seed. We cannot put it in our hearts. We can just make a determination. We don't make the determination to say, I am going to cultivate this garden. I am going to sow this seed. So I wanted to put that even before the preparation is a determination. So there's a determination that I am going to plant seed. Then there's a preparation on the ground. Now, what is the ground when we're talking about spiritual seed? Our hearts. Our hearts. Mark chapter 4 is a tremendous chapter where Jesus is sharing parables. Three of those have to do with seed and how he compares seed to the Word of God. He said the seed is the Word of God. The sower sows the Word. And then there's a whole section. We could spend the whole rest of this day talking about the sower sows the Word. But he's sowing it in the heart. And in that chapter, I'm going to do that for a homework assignment, because there's something very, very special in there that he's talking about conditions of hearts. And he lists the different types of seed. You're probably familiar with it. There's four types of seed that he taught, four parts of heart, the ground. And all those different types of heart all received the same seed, but they had different results. So the problem wasn't with the seed. The condition on the heart, but was from the heart. So the preparation of your heart is very important. Now, the condition of the heart, you know, it's different, the different types of soil they had. I'm going to go briefly here for time, but one of the first ones that he talked about was the hard ground. It had been packed down. Hardness that will keep people from receiving the word. You can see the word, but you may not receive that word, because there's a hardness. So it's like we can see things, scriptures, and they just become, they don't penetrate. I'm going to give you a scripture. It's in Mark chapter 8, in verse 17. We're talking about one condition, a condition on the heart. And in this section, Jesus is talking, and he's talking with his disciples, and he's talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they're thinking that he's talking about we don't have any bread, and Jesus is asking them some questions here, and he said, why don't you understand? He said, when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments did you take up? And we're chapter 8, verse 19. And they answered him, 12. And also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. In other words, they knew the facts. See, they knew the facts. And then he answered them, so he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? And up and back, and earlier in verse 17, he had told them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? So he related that hardness of heart was more than just knowing the facts. And I really think this really speaks to us from scripture, from an area of healing. There is more to receiving a harvest from healing than just knowing the scriptures. When he asked them questions, they knew the facts. If I were to say healing scriptures, you could probably give healing scriptures. But there's more in there. So I wanted to touch briefly on that preparation of the heart, because I want to move into actually sowing that seed. And I'm going to show here from an example. Okay, let's look at, okay, what's the difference? What happened here, and how do we differentiate between just hearing it, knowing the facts, and actually planting that seed? So what I want you to go, we are going to go back to Mark chapter 4. So if you want to flip back over to Mark chapter 4. And as you're going back to Mark chapter 4, when we're looking at seed, whose responsibility is it to sow the seed?
Ours.
It's our responsibility to sow the seed. And whose responsibility it is to make the seed grow? Do we make the seed grow?
No.
Go to Mark chapter 4. And I want you to look at, starting at verse 26. This is a second parable that Jesus talked in Mark chapter 4, in that section, as far as seed. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, he said, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground." So it's like we said, who scatters the seed? We do. The man scatters the seed. "And he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how." I'm going to stop for a second there. He doesn't know how it comes about. It's the same with healing. When you put a seed in, our natural mind says, how's that going to work? Confessing scriptures, saying scriptures, getting into the word. What is that going to do? I can understand medical stuff. I can understand that piece. But what's the word? How's the word going to change anything? But he says, in here, it's the same in the natural. How's that seed going to, if you put the seed in the ground, it's going to rot. How is that really going to do anything? But just like in the natural, that seed contains in it the life, and that ground will bring forth. It's not, the seed can't do it without being planted in the ground. Same with here, with the Word of God as a seed coming into our heart. So, in verse 28, let's continue on. "For the earth yields crop by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head." So, it's our responsibility to plant the seed. The seed contains in it the power to grow. I want you to go to First Thessalonians chapter 2. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the same thing from a little different angle. It talks about the power of the seed, the power of the Word of God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul is writing. He said, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Now, I think this lays out how to plant seed, or what the proper way of planting seed is. Now, there's four words that I want you to see there. It says, first off, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God." Now, when I was first introduced to the things of the Word of God and accepted the Lord and started finding out things about this, I was in what was then called in the 80s the Word of Faith movement. And So my limited understanding, revelation of it, and was that you confess the word to make something happen. Your confession is like a pry bar that makes God move. And so I got into, I was trying to make something happen. So that's like trying to make healing happen by doing confession. I'm confessing to try to make healing happen. But receiving the truth of the word is receiving and recognize that the healing is already done. That healing has already been completed. Getting that and then receiving that truth. And receive, that word receive in the Greek has the connotation of to take. I'm going to take it and make it part of my own. So I'm going to receive this as my own. Then it continues on, the word of God. When you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. It's like good news. You're like, this is good news. I'm going to receive this. Not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also, meaning the word of God, also effectively works in you. That Greek word that's translated here, effectively works, is the Greek word energeo. What's that sound like?
Energized.
Energy. Work. I mean, the word of God is energy inside you. It's you're receiving that. But there's a qualifier on that, which also effectively works in you who believe. So this lays out the kind of like the chart here of what's the steps, I think, if we can use the word steps, for planting the word. But now I want to give you an example. I want to give you an illustration in the word of how this happened in someone's life. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. And this is a story of Mary. But I think it has really parallels with receiving, when we see how Mary received. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled by his saying. Stop there a minute. What in that saying could trouble her? Is there anything that's bad news in that saying? No, that's good news. And there's nothing in there. Hey, rejoice. Highly favored one. But like, what manner of greeting is this? You know, it's like, I'm troubled by it. Then he turns around and says in verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, there's a part in here. She's hearing a word. She's getting a word. A word's being presented to her. And that word is prefaced with, rejoice, highly favored one. Now, that word that's translated, the Greek word translated for highly favored one, is only used twice in the New Testament. One time is here, and the other time is in Ephesians 1, verse 6. And it says in that one, to the praise of his glory for his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So here he's telling Mary that she's highly favored. And who else is he telling that's highly favored? In Ephesians.
Us.
It's important to have that understanding even coming into this. Even in coming into healing. It's like so much, I think we can say, oh, healing's to be able to, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of that. And Mary could have had that same opinion, even when she's saying, hey, highly favored one. Oh, not me. Look what I've done. Look, all this. But here he's saying, you are highly favored because God said you're highly favored. Same as Paul said in Ephesians by the Spirit of God, you are highly favored because you are in the beloved. So that's the mentality you start with, like she's starting here. That's the mentality you start with, that I am highly favored. I am accepted by God. I am accepted in the beloved. What I receive is because of what Jesus did. So then continuing on, verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and we call the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then basically there's a conversation, but the one piece I'm going to jump down to is over on verse 37. So he's explaining how it's going to happen and that. So he's given her the word on this. She's hearing the word that the angel was sent by God to deliver to her. Verse 37 says, for with God nothing will be impossible. Now, that's powerful in the way it's presented there. The Greek is even more powerful because I'm going to give a plug for blueletterbible.com. It's a Bible study aid, and it breaks down the Strong's Concordance, and it has an inner Greek linear Bible, and you don't have to know Greek. It'll tell you the words, and it'll put the translations next to it. But in the word, in the Greek, the way this is talking about no word of God is without power, and the Amplified actually translates it that way. The Amplified on that verse says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word from God shall be impossible of fulfillment. That seed, as Peter said in his first letter to the church, is incorruptible. That seed, that word of God that contains the power, is incorruptible. It means it can't be destroyed. It can't decay. It is incorruptible seed. So, but he's saying the word of God, there's no word that's of God that's in that same, that's what it is with healing. When you get a word from God, when you see that word from God, when you realize, recognize that that's for you, when you receive it. Now, here this next verse, 38, is where Mary is receiving it. In verse 38, he says, then Mary said, behold, maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That's where I believe the actual conception took place. Mary saw, she heard the word, received that word, not because of her goodness, but because God had declared her highly favored. God had declared her that she's accepted in the beloved, that. And so she made a decision. So she said, I receive this. So she believed. And if we go down, I'm going to jump back down to one, down verse 45. Now Mary goes and departs and goes to see Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth sees her, in verse 45, it says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So here we have the kind of like the prophetic confirmation for Mary. Mary had heard the word, received it, said, according to your word, I receive it. And got confirmation from the word, that prophetic word that Elizabeth gave her. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that's right in line with what the angel had also said, because no word from God is without the power to bring itself to fulfillment. So here we see it's the same pattern. If you want to say, how do I sow that word into my heart? Here's the same pattern. I hear the word, I receive the word based on not what I did, but what on he did. I rest in that. I'm not here trying to make it happen by my activity, but I'm resting in what's already been completed. I receive the word. I take that. It's just, I take it. Thank you, Jesus. I take it because of what you have done. Now we had a, and this is. But you notice there's a believing there. Just as I said, blessed is she who believed, and when we talked about the one in Thessalonians, it said that for them who believed. See, you notice the connection. There's a believing. It's the same thing Jesus told a number of occasions to those who came to him for healing, like Jairus, when he came to him for his daughter. He said, and then someone from the house came and said, "Don't bother, she's dead." And he told Jairus, remember what he told to Jairus? "Don't fear. Only believe. Don't fear, only believe." When last week when Pastor Schoen was talking about the unbelief under a microscope, he talked about the man with the demon-possessed epileptic son. And that son said, the father told Jesus, "If you can do anything, please help us." And what did Jesus respond with? "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And in both the situation, now, Jesus also told Jairus, "Don't fear." All right? And the man whose son was epileptic, demon-possessed, he was dealing with unbelief. So there's some other things that are happening in this garden. Like Jude said, weeds. There's weeds. Now, where do the weeds come from? Where do the weeds come from? They come from seeds, just like everything else. Now, I don't plant them in my garden. But there are seeds that the world blows in. And we have to be aware of those seeds because we have to take care of those. There was, when I was first got the house that we're in now and I would do gardening, it was real, I was gung-ho on the beginning of it, get the ground tilled, get the things planted, put the stakes up and all that. And then all the activities of life, I couldn't get back out there. And you know what those weeds did? They overtook everything. They would be hiding and they said, "Where's the plants?" All you could see were weeds. And it was just a process. So even though I didn't plant the weeds, even though the weeds blew in, it was still my responsibility to deal with those weeds. If I didn't deal with the weeds, then I was cooperating with the weeds. And so that was the part. Now, when I plant my watermelon now, I put tarp down. I have a couple layers of tarp, and I put holes in it. So, but you know, even then, even with that, I still have to walk because seeds will still get in, make a little niche, and grow in and get their roots in. So I still have to patrol. I still have to be diligent to guard my ground. Does that sound like a scripture? Be diligent or keep.
Your heart with all diligence.
Yeah.
A lot of it flows.
The issues of life.
Like.
Yeah. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. It's the same picture that you put the word in, but there are other seeds that are trying to blow into this garden. Fear, unbelief. And that's why it's so important that you don't cooperate with fear. If you expose yourself to fear, for example, what's going on in the news media today, in the world today, a lot of fear. What's going on in the medical with the virus and the new strains of the virus and all the compounding of that. There is a lot of fear. There is fear with medical things. There's fear. There can be fear introduced with what you focus on. I mean, there will be if you focus on those reports, it can introduce fear. So you have to put a tarp down. You have to block, and you have to be diligent, because those seeds will produce. And it is, you have to protect that seed. Now, we talked also about nurturing or watering that seed. So gardening is work, isn't it? Gardening is work. It's not just throwing seeds out and coming back and picking a harvest. There's things that happen. There's things that you have to do. So the water. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and at verse 10. He says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Do you see that promise? There's watering happening there. It's just like the rain comes down in the snow and it waters the earth, makes it bring forth, makes it bud, makes it produce, makes it happen. Those are the tools. Our cooperation is watering that seed. That's why it's important to meditate in the Word of God, especially when you're pulling up weeds. We know how to pull up weeds in the natural. Boom, 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 boom. Did you ever notice when you get the weeds, those of garden, when's the best time to pick those weeds?
When they first start sprouting up.
What happens if you let it go?
They're harder to get up.
They're harder to get up.
They take root.
I tell you what, if I had some that have gone through my tarp, and they're down underneath the tarp now, and now the tarp's actually holding them in instead of keeping them out. So the point is that if you let that seed go and don't take it out, if you let that weed grow, if you do let that fear grow, if you let that unbelief grow, if you let that medical diagnosis or other things grow in your heart, it's going to steal. It's going to keep your harvest. It's going to steal your harvest. It's going to take you down a path that is not where you want to be. You're watering with the words. When you're picking it out, how would you pick it out? How would you pick out the weeds, the spiritual weeds?
Renewing your mind.
To what?
To the Word of God.
Word of God. The Word of God related to healing. Healing.
She talked about it a couple weeks ago about self-talking.
Yeah, self-talking. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. When you're self-talking, when you're talking to yourself on what the Word says, you're picking that weed. That thought's coming in. You see the weed, that's a thought. Mm-hmm. The thought's coming in, and is it going to find a place? Is it going to find a place to root? Is it going to make a stronghold there? Is it going to establish itself in your heart? So when you see, when those thoughts come, you can weed them out. Say, nope, you know what? Jesus took my infirmities. You go back to the word that you got, that you received. When you were meditating on this, like Mary got a specific word, and she received that specific word. As you're meditating on the scriptures, it's not just confess scriptures. It's like meditating on those scriptures, and that seed will come alive. That word will come alive. God will speak something specifically to you from that scripture. It'll reveal in your heart the truth. That is for me. That is God speaking to me, that scripture. Like if it's, he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. the revelation of that gets in your heart and you say, that's not just out here, that's for me. That's God speaking to me, just like God spoke through the angel to Mary, and Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. You say, that's mine. That's mine according to the word of God. Be it unto me. I'm healed. So when the other things come back, when other weeds, thoughts come in to try to say nothing, try to say no, you can go back to that word that you planted. Say, no, it's growing. That is mine. So your garden stays producing. There's back in Mark chapter 4, when he's talking about the different grounds, the last ground was good ground. They heard the word just like all the other ones. Everyone, every type of ground heard the word. The last type of ground, they heard the word and accepted it. They accepted it, it says in there. They received it. They made it their own. They got the revelation of it and said, yes, that is mine. I take it. And I'm holding on to that. No, that is my promise. That is my seed. I'm not pulling that seed up. I'm staying with it. I'm going to pick my harvest. Questions? Then, the last part is, the part we like, is harvest. It's harvest time. You know, even in harvest, you have to go out and get the harvest. When we were looking at that scripture over in Mark chapter, there's some things associated with harvest. Because when we were reading that scripture, the other one, we said that the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The he is the same he that did the planting. Who was the one that did the planting? Who's responsible for it? Who plants the seed?
We are.
Who does the harvest? We do. Go and get. Don't let that fruit set up. It's growing. Say, I receive that. I receive this. I receive this healing in my body. I receive it. That is mine. So you harvest. You sow with your words, you water with the word, you reap and harvest with the word. It's the word of God, but it's meditating on that word of God, so it's coming out of you. It's not just a performance of confessing scriptures. It's a meditation on what those scriptures are speaking to you, and you're speaking from your heart. It says, we believe, therefore we speak. So I believe I've received my healing, therefore I speak healing. I believe that by his stripes I'm healed. Therefore, I say, by his stripes I'm healed. If my body says something different, I tell my body. Body, by his stripes I'm healed. Now you operate correctly. Now you function perfectly. Pain, get out of here. You have to go. You pick that weed. You pick that thought. You do that maintenance. You water that word. It's gardening time. It's gardening time. This is exciting. It's time to plant the garden. It's time to grow. It's time to receive the fullness of what he has declared and made available. Are you ready? Ready? Did some of this make click any lights on for you? Help you receive, help you see what's going on even from a natural standpoint, even from using a natural example to illustrate a spiritual truth. God has so much for you. He has healing, health. There is seed available, healing seed. And so prepare that heart. Determine that you're going to plant. Prepare that heart. plant that seed. Meditate till it becomes the seed that says, yes, that is planted. Guard your heart with all diligence to keep that weeds out. Water that word and reap that harvest. Praise God. Now, who's ready today to receive? Is there something that you may have been thinking, say, whew, I think I got some correction here. I got some adjustments here. I'm ready to do this. Are you ready to do it? Go ahead, let's stand up. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord, that your word is incorruptible seed. Thank you that you have given us the authority of your name, and you've given us your word as a sword. You've given us your word as a light. You've given us your word to break obstacles. So in the name of Jesus, I speak to sickness, pain. You have no place here. Holy Spirit, thank you for stirring up the remembrance of your word. Thank you that there's a determination coming that we will not settle for less. We will not settle for weeds. We will not settle for less than what you have provided for us. That we receive health into this body. Now say this, body. You be whole. I command you. In the name of Jesus. By his stripes. I was healed. And I receive that. I receive that seed. The truth of that word into my heart. And I commit to guard it, to water it, and to reap the harvest. In the name of Jesus. Amen.